Pat, I'm going to go to the here, Mike. I am going to ask in each row, there's a small booklet. You'll find it either sitting on your chair in one of the chairs in the row or on underneath. If we can make sure we pass that booklet through that row, this has our care sheets in it. Bless you. Our care sheets in it, and it's a great way to communicate. If you're a guest with us, or if you never filled this out before, if you could make sure to complete it. But if you've done it before, you just need to put your name and any thing you want to communicate, prayer requests. We do give these out to our intercessors and elders and different leaders in the church to pray for that. So appreciate that. Also, next Sunday, there's two things going with youth. You see, next our youth this year is going to Reading, Pennsylvania, on their mission trip for a week with group, and next week we'll have opportunity to get to support them. So how that works is that we'll have the youth will come up, and then each one, they'll have some envelopes, and if you would like to support them, what we usually ask is $25 a month for 4 months. They'll be up here available to do that. So that's what's going to happen next Sunday. And actually, at the end of this month, we're going to do a special fast. And this is a different kind of fast. And I actually heard this. I heard it. I was on, I think it was K-Love. There was some song on there, and I was listening to it. And they said what they did, and I thought, that sounds awesome. You know, we should do that. And actually, it's we're going to take a week, and we're going to fast from complaining. Now, no, it's true. They were they had a person on there testifying. They actually fasted for 3 weeks from complaining. The first day they said changed their life. So I thought that sounds good. We should do that. So I'm thinking maybe a week from Monday, from that week from tomorrow, we're gonna do a week of fasting for complaining. And so we'll just see how that goes. You can't complain. Get it all out next week, because the week after, it's over. So that's coming. That's something just so you can look forward to. Oh, and by the way, clarification in your bulletin, as you see, Denny Ferguson is not speaking today. We just didn't switch that out there. Yeah, he even got prayed for this morning. We were looking at, okay, but it's, anyways, that's another time. But as you know, we've been, as you see, what's supposed to be in the bulletin, and that's not Anne-Marie's fault, that's my fault, that's not changed in there. We've been talking about just two, which is reference to when Jesus said, out of all the commandments and everything in the Bible, he said, really it comes down to two things, which is love the Lord your God. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And that word again there, to love, basically means to welcome or to entertain, to be fond of. There's a sense of hosting or welcoming God's presence. And you know, in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 1, it says, it's a verse that, in fact, I think I got it up here. It's a verse, this verse comes out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which was said 700 years before about the Messiah, about the coming Messiah, which was Jesus. And it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, you know, it's not God controlling us, not God dictating over us, you know, but it's God with us. And question would come is, how much do we allow God to be Emmanuel? How much do we allow him to be with us? You know, do we restrict his movement? Not that we can ever restrict God. We just can restrict him within our faith and our belief that we can actually, is it possible for a Christian to harden their heart? Oh, very much so. And how we harden our heart is that we don't believe God. We don't believe God's going to do this. We don't believe, and we can contain God. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many, as you were growing up, got a timeout or had to go stand in the corner or something? You don't have to raise your hand. Because I know probably all of you. Yeah, I should say who didn't have that happen, but anyways. But you know, in some ways, we can give God a timeout or put him in a corner. And that's is, you know, we can in our Christian walk, we can, you know, read our Bible and we can pray, and then we can put it all back down, get out from where we were, move around, and that's where God, we leave him in that time slot, in that spot in the morning, and we're not a sense of welcoming him to our day. Or we could come here to church, you know, to the Sunday morning service, and be here, and then we leave. Bye. And that's all we have with God. Now, that may seem, could you hear me while I was in here?
Yeah.
All right. That could be, we might make fun of that, but that's sometimes what we do. We come to service, God's with us, but then we leave and we go off with our day, and where is he? We leave him in that time slot at church, or the time slot when we're together, and that could be whatever. And hopefully you're getting the idea that we can compartmentalize God in the different spaces in our life. Well, I'll let you be Emmanuel with me here. But when I'm here, it's just me. Or I'll let you be here, God. And I think it'd be great, just take some time, and I go read some different places where we might be, that you allow God afresh to be Emmanuel in those places, like your home. Now it's, you know, it says the home is our castle, but really it's God. It's God's presence. Our friendships. Are the friendships where we need to allow Emmanuel? Marriage. In our marriages, say, God, I need you in there. Or your job. Do we leave God outside of our job? Outside until we get clocked back out or whatever we leave. School. Is he Emmanuel? Is he with us? Are we allowing him? He's there. He's willing. In our fun times. We don't want God around our fun times. He's just going to ruin it. Hey, God, you just stay over there. I'm going to go have fun. You know. No, God is fun. I mean, the joy of the Lord. I mean, he enhances life. You know, wherever God is, he enhances things. He makes things better for us. If you've not had God involved in your fun, you don't know what fun is. It's really having him be a part of that. And you know, he's with us. You know, and in areas of our heart, are there areas of our heart we blocked him out? And things we're struggling, whatever it is, fears and things we're up, that we're not seeing him with us. And so this is what he said. This is the Messiah. This is why Jesus came, is that so God could be with us. So when we talk about loving God, that's part of loving God is Emmanuel. Allowing him to come into our hearts. Releasing that for him to come be a part of us. I shared a couple times now about the quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is a pastor in Nazi Germany, who says, "What is Jesus to you today?" You know, again, in that, we could compartmentalize. Say, well, this is what Jesus is. But when we talk about God with us, we're talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can't separate them out. I know sometimes we use the illustration to try to help people understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as an egg. The only issue is, that's a good illustration, helps, but it's not a great illustration, because you could separate those three. You could take the shell off, you could take that strainer and take the yolk and everything, but with God, you can't separate them. You can't strain God out of Jesus, the Father out of Jesus, the Holy Spirit away from the Father. You can't do that. They're one. And so there's, yes, we can address them personally. We can address each person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it's good to do that, but realize it's still, it's three persons in one. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 16, it's recorded, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? You know, we can logically, factually say a lot of stuff. We can probably answer that. Most of us know some enough about the historically. Lots of people in the world. There's a lot of people in other faiths who know answer to that question. But then Jesus asks this question. He says, what about you? Who do you say I am? So there's a difference of quoting the facts and quoting historically, but what is he to me? What is he to you? What is Jesus to you in your life? Not what is he factually, not what do you read him about him here, but what is he to you now, today? Last week we talked a little bit about the Samaritan woman, the woman where Jesus in John chapter 4, where he met the woman at the well, and she talked about how the way she knew Jesus was her ancestors. Basically, her experiences and the things she was brought up in. And because of that, she had this picture in her mind of who the Messiah was, what he looked like and everything. And each one of us deals with that. Each one of us, whether you had a strong upbringing in church or you had nothing, you still have formed these ideas. You still have these concepts of who God is and what can he do for us. And there's a scripture that says in Ephesians 3:20, says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I mean, all of us, God, when he created us, gave us an imagination. He gave us creativity, but he's saying that, you know what? He is bigger than our imagination. He's bigger than Disney and Star and all these. He's bigger than all that. He's got to imagine. I mean, God is beyond that. So the God we are serving is so much greater. And I think it's always good to keep that. You know, in different races, they have pacers. You know, different things to pace and help you maybe even run faster and do things. You know, it's always good to know in our life that God is more than our imagination. No matter what we think, no matter how much I can imagine he could do, no matter how big I think he is, he's always greater. He's always can do more. And allowing him and releasing that faith. And how does that happen? How do we allow God, and it says we're not really allowing him, but we're receiving him, basically, receiving that. In Romans chapter 4, there's a story in there, there's an illustration about Abraham. And it talks about how Abraham was persuaded that God could do what he said he could do. Now, that didn't happen overnight. It wasn't this Sleeping Beauty issue where he fell asleep and poof, he woke up, bam, he just knew, he's persuaded. It took time. It was Emmanuel. It was the fact that he walked with God. You know, we see in Abraham's life, we see this story and this story and this story, but we don't realize, I mean, sometimes to stop and think, well, that's just four stories out of 50 years. You know, there was a lot of in-between times there. There was the day-to-day. There was the time of getting up and going to the fields and working and sweating and smell and stink and everything else in life. You know, people living, people dying, and all the stuff of life, environment, everything was going on. But he was Emmanuel. He was just walking with God. And through that walking with God, he was persuaded. And that's part of Christian life. It's walking with God. I mean, there's no instant, boom, here's a vaccine you could take or a vitamin you could take, and bam, you know, you have all this faith. It's a matter of walking with him and being with him. And no matter where we are in our faith, no matter where we are in our relationship with him, no matter how much we fail or how much we think we know or we don't know or we feel, whatever we are in life, it's Emmanuel. He is with us. He's not going to reject. He's not going to sit there, well, you know, read this and I'll be back. You know, when you could take this test and you know all this stuff, I'll be back. When you reach this point in life, no, he's Emmanuel with us the moment we receive him. You know, love is an action. We should be able to see it. question I need to ask myself and we need to ask ourselves is there enough evidence in my life? If I didn't say it, will people be convicted? If I was in front of a jury and had witnesses come in and say what they see, would they be able to say, oh, that person's a Christian? That's something to ask. I mean, I've had to ask myself. I've had to deal with that when I was different jobs and everything, and I'd gone along, and I had to stop and think, okay, what am I doing? And Lord, am I slipping? Am I getting over here too much into a mindset, and I'm starting to be in the world too much? And what does that mean? You know, Jesus said, he said in Matthew 5, 16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. They're not glorifying me. They're glorifying whatever my Christian life, it shouldn't be to bring attention to me. It shouldn't be so people say, wow, you're really great. Somehow my life should be pointing people to God. Should be pointing, they should say, boy, God is great. And Jesus went on and said, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, our perspective, how we see God, our perception of life, will determine how much light's going on, how much we're walking in light, how much we're walking in darkness. This is so important for us to grasp that, to realize we're always wrong. In some way, every one of us, me, all of us, are wrong some way in our perception of God. But we're always right, too. There's some rightness in there that's wrong. Saying that, what I'm saying is that it's good to always realize there's more of him to know. There's more of him we realize we could be missing. Lord, help us. Let's just pray that right now. If we could we're not talking about our physical eyes, we're talking about our spiritual eyes. That God help us. Lord, we just welcome your Holy Spirit to help us have healthy eyes in our spirit. Lord, if we can see you, see life, see perception, see one another, see your heart, God. We welcome your Holy Spirit. Help us have healthy eyes. Help us, Father. Lord, let us see Emmanuel in every area of our life. We just welcome that, God. Courage to allow you to be more in our life in every area. We thank you, Lord. Last week, the other thing we talked about is what does it mean to love God? And in 1 John 5:3 says that, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Burdensome, there's not heavy, there's not a sense of heaviness. Why, again, is that? How's that happen? Emmanuel. You know, when we're trying to carry the commands of God by ourselves, it is heavy. But when we have God with us, if we could, Lois, could you come up here, please? Oh, she was planning to come up here.
Several times while you've been talking.
Yeah, I can kiss her. You want me to kiss her?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Want me to kiss her again?
Yeah. Can I have a microphone?
Well, let me. Went to and should is two different things. Okay. Yes, that one's working. But, you know, as we're walking through here, there's things that we will do together because we're together. We're sharing life together. You know, we're doing, that's the same thing when we're talking Emmanuel or his commandments, is that we do it together. No, I'm not nervous. All right, go ahead.
Go ahead. Do you have that song, the new song that we just were learning this morning? Where's Ryan?
You can't?
Oh, drat. I should have done it when it was up there.
He's got the words.
Yeah, the words. Is really what I was talking about.
The words on the sheet.
It'd be nice if. See, she's going to do it. Dina! Woo! You can still walk with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so this is so exciting because I didn't know exactly what he was going to say this morning. But this morning when we were learning this, I kept picturing all of us looking ahead into our week. Where we go, And we all go different places. So, I saw us there saying this, where we were.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I feel that I'm enhancing mm-hmm. what you're saying today.
Go for it, girl.
Isn't that a kind word? Okay, so what's the next line? Can we move through the thing? Whatever. Whatever's next. So you're sitting, okay, not too quick, no. Uh-oh, okay, there we go. So there we are. So like, say, oh, we have the Habitat for Humanity crew. Where are you guys? Everybody who's there? Mm-hmm. So there you are at Habitat for Humanity. Right there, you say. Kingdom of Heaven, come down. Right then. Mm-hmm. And let's see who's some other people. I don't know, mm-hmm. Sharon Gartley. What are you doing this week? Little people?
Little people.
So right there, let your glory reign, shining like heaven. Heaven, King of Heaven, come. Mm-hmm. Like right in the very moment.
All the kids that's in schools.
To welcome all the kids, school. Wherever they all are.
Yep. Say, King of Heaven, rise up. Teachers.
Even bankers.
Bankers.
Josh out on the construction site. Mm-hmm. Rachel having that baby. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's see. We got Silver Line people. Mm-hmm. Starbucks people. We got all kinds of people here. Mm-hmm. Nationwide. Mm-hmm. CYT.
Self-employed.
Yeah. Yeah. King of Heaven, rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Who can stand against us?
That's right.
And here's something that I feel has been changing. I'm kind of taken off now.
You did. You
settle down. Something that's been changing is it used to be that we could be really, we kind of had to be real, almost obnoxious about our faith at times to get people to hear us. And that doesn't work now. Now, if you're that way, they just turn it off. So what I've been watching this younger generation do, and I had a very cool dream. Sometime I'll share this dream, but they have this revelation of stealth mode as Christians. Now, their level of commitment and witness and all of that is not less than ours. So all of you who think that, we all get to repent. They get their atmosphere, they hear songs like this, or they get this sense of, I've got to go out and allow the light to shine, but I can't do it the same way that it was done before because it doesn't work the same way. Mm-hmm. As much as we wish it did, it just doesn't. And so they've learned how to function, and whether they make a comment here, or I'll pray with you, or like, nice and easy does it, keep going, but they don't give up. That's the thing that I am so impressed, is that there's no giving up going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you know anything about winning, it's the person that doesn't give up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you stealth people, thank you for being examples to us on how mm-hmm. to be Christians mm-hmm. nowadays. A lot of you are the younger ones, mm-hmm. wherever you are. And I am so, so thankful that you're teaching me how to talk and witness and not lose my fire, but make it strong and light and bright. Amen?
Amen.
And that's this song. That's all these words.
Mm-hmm.
Here we
that's
go.
Awesome. Well, that actually, thank you. You didn't know that, but the next thing we're going to share about is fire. You know, to love God is, you know, when love, a lot of times we attribute it to a passion, a fire, something that's going on. And when we look at the scriptures, John the Baptist said of Jesus, says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And when the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts, when it shows the book of Acts, it says it came in what looked like tongues of fire. And Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. So how many of you have ever started a fire before? right? When you start a fire, usually you have to have something to burn. You know, you got things to burn stuff. But you know, you have to have something, a spark or something that's hot to make that happen. And, you know, that spark in our life, that could come from all kinds of places. It could come from other people. It could come from being in the Word. The Holy Spirit is going to give it. But also we can present ourselves to a point or be open enough that we get that spark, that we're not hardening ourselves. We're not dampening ourselves. Have you ever tried to light something that's wet? Is it hard to light something that's wet? Well, you know, it's one of those things of then, Lord, how do I keep my life dry enough in my spirit and soul, dry enough from the things of this world, that when your spark comes, a fire hits? How do I do that? Well, you know, Jesus said in a prayer that was recorded, it's the longest prayer in the Bible that's recorded about Jesus. In John 17, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world. I have sent them into the world. And then he says, I sanctify myself for them, that they may be truly sanctified. And he says, the last thing he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. How many is that? Is us. That's us. Those who believed through the prayer. He was praying for his disciples, but this is for us. He was praying that. And so what he's saying there, he's saying that, God, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I don't want you to take them out of there. He says, even as if you read the history of Jesus, he was in the world. He was around people. He was out there. And he was loving people, you know. The only people he had a lot of friction with were the religious leaders who were saying, that's not God, or God doesn't love people like that and stuff. He said, no. But he was loving people. And so for us, it's keeping our life dry enough from the things of the world. You know, if things are wet, you ever burn something that's really wet? Wet leaves? What happens when you burn something that's really wet? A lot of smoke. I mean, it's just like, well, you know, sometimes our life, we have to be careful that we're so wet from the things of the world that our life is so smoky that people don't even see God. People don't even see the fire. They don't see it. They basically run away. It's like, what's going on? I mean, they don't see that. So it's keeping our life dry enough. And how we do that is that we make sure, again, Emmanuel, that we're listening to him. We're following after him. As we're following after him, then we will have our life crisp enough that when God speaks and when God does something, and that could come through anything. It could come through his word, his each other. It could come to a song. Who knows what it's going to come to? But it's just allowing that spark to keep happening, that we have that fire. Paul told Timothy, he says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on my hands. And so what we want to do is we're going to take some time to pray. And I know we have our young ones who are going to be coming up here. But I'm going to ask if our musicians could come back up, please. You know, there's a verse that's very familiar. A lot of times we see it at a sports thing. It's John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, God loves the world. That doesn't mean just people. He loves his creation. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8 that creation, and there was, I don't know if somebody said it, there was a song we sang about the very waves, everything crying. That's what the Bible says, that creation itself is longing for the redemption when God comes, creation. So there's this longing for all creation. And so I'm going to ask if our elders and our prophetic team leaders would come up, please. And we're going to have a time just to pray for different ones about three different things, actually. One is, if you guys want to come on up here and stand right here. These are our power.
Yes.
So what we're going to do, if you guys would come over here and make a line, like a charge line. And if the... facing each other. We're going to welcome For those who would like just a freshness of the sense of Emmanuel and that fire, I'm going to ask you just come and let these ones pray for you. What this group right here are going to do is they're praying. They back in Bible and Children's Church today, they had talked about life and the imparting life, the life of God. So what they're going to do is once you're through with them, let you come up here and let these ones lay hands on you or lay a shark on you or whatever. And they're going to believe for life to be given to you, fresh life. You know, there is no junior Holy Spirit. And we believe the Holy Spirit, God's going to use them to impart life. So Emmanuel and fire of God, how about actually for our healing team? We have some of the healing team members. You come over here and be with this group and pray for that, for just that release. And then make sure you allow these ones to pray life to you. And after we're done, we will have our personal ministry team up here to pray for anybody who would like prayer. Encourage you to find someone. Don't just run off. Find someone to share with. But make sure this week, as Pastor Lois shared, when you're in different situations, welcome God. Post Him into those places. So you come on up. Allow these ones to sing our songs. We're going to sing together here.